Shalom Aleichem, BFF Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Me'ilah Yud Gimel. Me'ilah 13b. Pagination is 26. We'll start at the top of the page, Masnisin, by the new Mishnah. Much of the Masechta was dedicated to discussing cases of Me'ilah where there's a process and a change of status in the item. In cases in the Beis HaMikdash, for example, we discussed blood from an animal. At what point might there be me'ilah? Is there right away? Is there after it leaves? Likewise, regarding the meat, the innards of the animal, kadshe kadshim, kadshim kalim, at what point in a process might there be me'ilah? Our Mishnah addresses a number of other sophisticated cases where there's a bit of a transition to be considered, and that's what we're going to look at. The Mishnah states, Sharshei Ilan Shel Hedyot, the roots of a tree belonging to non-hekdesh, Haboyim Bishel Hekdesh, and these roots from the tree of the commoner, of the Hedyot, are going into a hektish field, v'shal hektish, or the tree of hektish, shebon b'shal hedyot, whose roots are going into the regular person's field. What status do these roots have? So there are a lot of considerations over here, and indeed, the Gemara in Baba Basra does explore those considerations. What's the issue with the roots? Is it the growth of hektish? Is it that it's nurturing a hektish tree? Does it matter whose field it's in? Does it matter whether the roots grew after it became hektish or before it was hektish? But the bottom line of our Mishnah is the ruling, lo nanin velo moalin. You're not allowed to have benefit from them, but it's not a straightforward case of me'ilah. There are other considerations. The second case of the Mishnah. Mayon shu yotze mitoch hasada shel hekdesh. There's a spring causing water, and it's coming in the place of hekdesh. Lo nenin velo moalin. You're not allowed to have hanah from that, but it's not straightforward me'ilah. Because when a spring sends forth its water, it's coming from way down, and that's not the regular hektish area. And therefore, fundamentally, that water is not hektish, but it looks like you're benefiting from hektish because you're in a hektish field, and therefore you're not allowed to do it, but it's not true me'ila. Yotza chutz lasada, once that water is out of the field, nanin mimenu. You could have benefit from it. Another case. Hamayim shebekad shel zahav. Water that's in that jug of gold. A special jug of gold. What's the case? So water was needed for nisach hamayim in the Beis HaMikdash on Sukkis. Normally, they would fetch the water and bring it straight to the Beis HaMikdash, and they would use a Kodesh Kad Shel Zahav. But regarding Shabbos, they couldn't fetch it on Shabbos, and therefore they wanted to bring it in from Friday, from the day before. But if they would leave it in a Kadosh vessel, it would become pasul with Lina, that it stayed overnight. You may recall that there was a special consideration regarding the kiyar that had water in it, and it's a kadosh vessel, and they lowered it into a spring in order that it shouldn't become tamei through lina. That's the word muchani, the machine, the pulley system that lowered the kiyar. So our case over here is that the water was designated for Nisuch HaMayim purposely in a non-Kadosh vessel, because on Shabbos it had to stay overnight Friday night, from when it was brought on Friday until it will be used on Shabbos. So the water that's in such a kadshal zahav is not really kadosh. Lo nanin, you can't have benefit from it, v'lo mo'alin, but it's not a real case of me'ilah, because it purposely was not kodesh, so that it should not become pasul from staying in a kadosh vessel overnight. Nosnon bitzelochis, once it was transferred to a kadosh jug, mo'alin bohen, then there's regular me'ilah, and that's an example that we described of the transfer of status as things progress. Another case, Arava, the willow branch of Sukkis, which they adorned the Mizbeach with, lo nanin velo mo'alin, there's no hana'a permitted from it, but it's not me'ila either. Rabbi Lazar Rab Tzadik said, no'agin ayu azakenim shenanim mimenu bilu levehen. The elders used to benefit from it. They used to put it together with their lulav, and they had benefit from them. The Mefarish says, after it was already stood up by the Mizbeach, it's na'asis mitzvasa. It's already completed in its mitzvah, and therefore they were able to benefit from it. Taisvis, towards the bottom of the page, the widest lines, writes, Nanu hayu mehem zekenem bilulveim, the elders were able to benefit from it with their lulavim, kosava mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu, based on the fact that using something for a mitzvah is not considered a hana'a, it's not considered a benefit, and therefore it was permitted to take it, Taisvis says, because mitzvahs lav lehenes nitnu. Art Scroll Note 9 launches into the discussion of what exactly it means mitzvahs are not beneficial. Certainly they are beneficial. I just got a mitzvah. But it's not beneficial in a certain type of sense of physical benefit. Even if the mitzvah generates both a spiritual and physical benefit, but it's not a direct physical benefit. What's being benefited is the mitzvah. I'm reminded of the expression that nonprofits use when they want to give a receipt for IRS documentation purposes, so they get stuck in the quandary of writing, no benefit was received. What do you mean, no benefit was received? The person got a mitzvah. They supported our organization. It sounds like your organization is not worthy if you write, no benefit was received. So they have this wording, no tangible benefit as defined by the IRS code has been received by the donor. And that very wordy expression is similar to this concept. Mitzvahs lav lahanes nitnu, on a very physical level, on a tangible level, the direct benefit isn't reckoned with, and therefore Taisvah says the Zakenim were able to use the Aravis for their lulavim. Yeshe koach, thank you for joining.